that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and the conclusion of our study of Mark chapter 15, verses 6 through 15, and a message titled, Crucify Him. Unlike all other religious so-called holy books, the Bible is a very human book. As a matter of fact, the very fact that the Bible shows human beings as they really are, warts and all, is a very strong evidence in support of its authenticity. It is also a history book, and not a single fact of history has been found to disprove the history of the Bible, despite what lying college professors and atheist authors might claim. And nowhere do we see this more plainly than in this account of people who had called Jesus the Son of God and blessed him a few days earlier, now being manipulated by political leaders to yell, Crucify him.
What happened here? Did the chief priests move the people? Wait a minute. I thought they were moved because they were just so emotional and they had such opinion and convictions about what was... They couldn't care less. They didn't understand the repercussions either. But the chief priests moved the people. That he, talking about Pilate, should rather release Barabbas unto them. This was an orchestrated mob. Folks, you want to know why we have the president we have right now? Yeah. Just go out to YouTube and look at the videos where they interview the people who voted for him. They went up to him and said, are you voting for Obama because he supports, because he is against abortion? And they said, yeah, that's why I'm voting for him. He supports abortion. They said, well, do you like his the fact that he opposes gay marriage? Yes, I stand with him. Now, at that time, in the re-election, he had said he was evolving. You know, They asked them all they had a list of questions. I think it was six or seven questions. And they gave the exact opposite of what Obama stood for. And his voters said they were supporting him because he stood where he stood, when in reality, it was the exact opposite of what he stood for. Wow. And that's the people. And now I posted a video clip of Hillary supporters, because there's a bunch of people wanting Hillary. And they said, could you you support Hillary? Yes, yes, I think she's one. Could you tell us one thing she did as Secretary of State? I'm in college, and I'm so busy, I don't really, you know. Could you just tell us one thing she did that makes her worth electing? One thing she did as Secretary of State? And they said, well, she did make things worse. Actually, she did. And then they said, they asked this one guy who claimed he was writing his senior thesis on Hillary. Okay? So you're thinking, this guy knows, at least he's going to know something. They said, what's her greatest accomplishment? And he said, probably Benghazi. And they said, Benghazi? He's, yes, because that could have been really bad. A bunch of people got killed. You do know that, don't you? She refused to send in help to the Americans being butchered. That's her greatest accomplishment.
Wow, that's gotcha.
Now, by the way, just I'm not anti-Democrats here. I just want you to understand, I didn't vote for Romney. Just letting you know. I'm just saying that the reason we get the people in office we get is because the American people are ungrateful. They have any sense of thankfulness for what they've been given. They are too busy smoking pot, getting drunk, fornicating, committing sodomy, and watching TV to care about what's going on in the world. Amen. Nothing's changed, has it? Ecclesiastes tells us there's nothing new under the sun. Amen? Yeah. There ain't nothing new. This is the same thing you're seeing today. Bunch of people who are too caught up in their own little world, they don't understand the repercussions, and so there's this orchestrated mob. In Matthew 27:20, it said, but the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Look close to that. They persuaded the multitude. And So you remember that this is the same group of people who just a week before were saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," throwing down the palms, and then Jesus riding in on a donkey, and they're like, "Woohoo!" Do it, Jane.
Woohoo!
That's what they're doing. I can't do it as well as she does. And it's like, you know, Cool and the Gang would have been playing back then, celebrating, you know, celebrate good time. And then a week later, crucify him. Yeah. Nothing's changed. Pilate is passing the buck, you know, the washing the hands and the water thing, but makes another incredible admission here in 12 and 13. Read verse 12. "And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews?" He's called him the King of the Jews, and now he's saying that you were calling him King of the Jews. And he's telling the truth. These people who are going to be calling for Jesus to die had been calling him their king. But see, they didn't know the Scripture. And folks, that'll get you in trouble. You better know the Bible. It'll get you in trouble. We were talking yesterday, I've given example after example of people who ignore the fact that the Bible says we can't know the day or the hour, so they sell everything and run to the hills. It's happened. People, my brother, you know, called me one back a few years ago. This woman had come in and announced she was quitting her job. And her husband went up to the hills. I think in Canada. And because they thought the world was getting ready to end. But if you know the Bible, it'll keep you from doing that. There's things that have to happen before all that happens. And right here, if they'd known the Bible, they'd know that when they called him King of the Jews and they were looking for him to take over the world, they had missed something. Because Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22 and other prophecies said that this one who would come, who will rule the world, but he would be despised and rejected of men. That he would be crucified, he would be pierced, Psalm 22. And he would die first. But they didn't know their Bible. And it's an example in Pilate of a sad, typical, pragmatic politician. Pilate acts out of expediency instead of principle. You need to learn that word. I've told you that a number of times if you've watched the videos or been coming here for a while. Pragmatism. Pragmatism is when a politician does this to see where he's going to vote, how he's going to... That's pragmatism. And that's what Pilate's doing here. Out of expediency, he's going to do what he's about to do. I love this little cartoon. If a man yells, "You lie," in a room full of politicians, how do they know who he's talking to? Amen. What's the other one? How do you tell when a politician is lying? His lips are moving. Amen. Hey, that's just the reality. I mean, they will say whatever, you know. I used to sit and I don't watch the State of the Union speeches anymore, but... I stopped back when Clinton was president. He'd get up there, and if he had been able to give half of what he promised, we'd be in utopia. And people were like, "Oh, I love it! I love it!" You know. And then when he didn't come along after 4 years, he said, "I really wanted to, but I need 4 more years. Just give me 4 more years, Mark. Do your Clinton. Give me 4 more years." And so they're like, "Okay, we'll give you 4 more years." And after 4 years, they got mad, and that's why they gave us Bush. And then Bush gave us wars, and so then they can't turn around and they listen to Obama. And Obama set out the agenda, and the Obama agenda was utopia. And there was like, you know, Obama phone, you know. And then after 4 years, and there's still not utopia, he said what? "Give me 4 more years. That's all I need is 4 more years. Yeah, that's his excuse. It ain't going to come through a man in Washington, D.C., folks. It just ain't. I don't care what party, who he is. And sadly, forgive me for just telling the truth here, but the dumb sheep fall for such political manipulations. And that's what's happening right here. And they cried out again, "Crucify him." They're a bunch of dumb sheep. Folks, we're all dumb sheep. Don't think I'm putting anybody down. I'm a dumb sheep. Outside of having that book and knowing what God has said, I'm as blind as anybody spiritually. It is only by the Word of God that we have wisdom. But in a world, in a country, a nation, whether it's Israel back then or America today, they don't read their Bible. And they don't believe the Bible. Therefore, it's a nation of fools. They are void of wisdom. Don't be surprised that this country is going downhill fast right into a dead end. It's a nation of fools who reject the wisdom of God. And that's why these people are crying out, "Crucify him," when they know, deep down inside, they know they're looking at the King of the Jews. Yeah, I wanted to show this. I'm not endorsing this movie. There was things in this movie that I don't endorse. But this scene, I just want to show you this, just to give you a visual of what we're talking about. I just think that did an awesome job of showing what was going on there. I wish I could get that movie and edit out some of the dumb stuff. But that shows you what was going on there. And it shows, I think, I've heard people complain about showing Jesus like that. That is, they beat him to a pulp.
Yeah.
Now, as we've been reading, I'll guarantee you that very few of you are picturing your lovely Jesus like that the whole time we're talking about him.
Yeah.
But that's what he looked like. And he is going through this falsely accused, and he's doing it for you willingly.
Amen.
What he said there to Pilate is absolute. Pilate couldn't have had him scourged. Pilate couldn't have had him crucified except that he was given the authority from above. Why? Because that's why Jesus came. You're not looking at a victim. You're looking at somebody who knew this was going to happen. He knew he was going to do this because of your sin. You. Everybody look at me. Everybody in this room look at me. Ed. Everybody. I know he's in the Word. He's not reading comics. But I just want everybody to look up here for a second. That's because of your sin. No passing the buck this morning. That's not me. Except for when I'm looking at it. Don't look at the other people and say, "Oh, you guys, you bunch of sinners." Don't even look at the pride parade coming up and that wickedness going on. It wasn't just for that kind of wickedness. He is suffering and bleeding and dying for your sin. For my sin. It's personal. Yes, he died for the sins of the whole world, but he died for your sin. You ever just meditate on that? I put Jesus on that cross. Meditate on that sometime. Read this passage. Read Isaiah 53. Read Psalm 22. And say that. Say it out loud. I put Jesus on that cross. My sin. It might change the way you look at things.
It might change your attitude about how you live your life. I'm going to say something that might surprise you, but I feel a little sorry for Pilate. And he appears to be torn. And he actually pleads for him. In verse 14, read that. Then Pilate said unto them, "Why? What evil hath he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." Pilate, I really believe he was that close to being saved. Why? What a testimony right there. What evil hath he done? You haven't presented a single legitimate witness. You haven't proven a single thing. Pilate, his wife called him that righteous man. He has the testimony of his wife. And they responded, that's true. That's not how they responded. They cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." That's what we call bloodlust. That's not only what we're seeing here with Jesus. That's history of Christianity, and it's going on right now. In Muslim countries, what they're doing to Christians, it's bloodlust. It's nothing personal. It's just the fact that they have Jesus in them. The devil is in the enemy, and he hates Jesus. Jesus said, the world can't hate you. The world hates you because it hates me. It's bloodlust. Psalm 22, I referred to just a moment ago. Verse 16, read that with me. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. That was 1,000 years before it happened. And prophetically, David is speaking of what's going to happen to Jesus 1,000 years from then, when they will pierce his hands and his feet. And it's dogs that have compassed him. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. That's what we're seeing in that chapter. Folks, the world loves its bloody killers while rejecting the blood of the Savior. The world loves the kingdom builders, the people who are going to build the kingdom on the earth and make utopia. Those always turn into bloody killers. They have to fight wars. They have to persecute. In the face of this bloodthirsty mob, Pilate caves to the pressure. Verse 15, read that. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. He's given in. Given in to the pressure. The politics played out, though, to fulfill the will of God. You have to understand that as you're watching what's going on today in the politics, as you're watching world government come to fruition and reality, you're watching the Constitution being destroyed, it's playing out to fulfill the will of God. We just have to trust Him. We still do what's right. We still take a stand, but we know that it's all working out. And in this case, the will of God was the salvation of your soul. Amen. It was all working out. Everything we saw, and as angry as it can make you sometimes, you have to remember, it was working out and playing out to fulfill the salvation of your soul.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Before I play, I'm just going to play a song. This is how we're going to close. I want to close with this song. Because I was a Christian for a couple years, and I didn't get this. And that's what caused me to dedicate my life to serving the Lord. It wasn't some exciting program. It wasn't, you know, some pep talk. It was what we're talking about this morning. And knowing that Jesus willingly died for me. Jesus wanted to pay for my sins because He wanted to save my soul. And allowing that to dawn on me, that's when Romans 12, 1 and 2 began to make sense, where it says, it's my reasonable service to hand my body over to God. as a living sacrifice. And this is a group called the Greens, and they're Southern Gospel, but they're not real flashy like some of them are. But this song, it's sung by...
They took her home to a courtyard. They stripped him of his clothes. They gambled on his garments with his head held low. They scorned him and they mocked him and said, "Why not save yourself? If you're who you really say you are, this will be no contest."
While struggling to carry that man-made torture's rack, they shouted, "Crucify him!" with the whole world's sin upon his back, with a crown of thorns upon his head, and above him was his name. A soldier spat in his precious face and said, "Now, Jesus, where's your fame?" But someday they will bow before him and worship this king. They won't dry pants in his hands or his feet, but they'll proclaim that in the highest he's the Lord of everything. They shall never crucify him again, and they will bow before him.
And God will trade his blood-stained rugged cross
for a royal Zion.
And they shall bow before him and worship his king. And they will cry now
in his hands on his feet.
From the north, the south, the east, and west, all nations will gather in, and God will trade his blood-stained rugged cross
for a royal Zion.
And they will bow before him and worship his king. They will try hands
in his hands or his feet.
He'll proclaim that
have you ever heard that?
Carolina. Deal, baby. James.
That was 1991. Okay, and that was when I heard it, and I'd been through a bad situation with the church. How many of you ever been there? I had a preacher who had taken me under his wing and was going to help me. I was going to be his Timothy. And he was caught cheating with his secretary. And I was a baby in Christ, 2 years old. I was a little terrible twos, you know, as a Christian. And I just didn't know what to do. And then I realized it wasn't about him. It wasn't even about me. It was about Jesus. People are going to let you down. They won't even let you down. People are going to die on you. Amen. People who serve the Lord right now, both barrels, think can happen and change them, and they can become physically incapable or mentally incapable. But it's about Jesus. And I thought and meditated on that, and this song, when the Lord used this song to remind me of what it's like Peter, the Word of God came to mind. I'm listening to this song and all that scripture and all that learning that I'd not really gotten, the Lord used that song to bring to my mind. You know what? He did what He did because He loves me. He did what He did because He loves you. And they'll never do it again.
Amen.
Once for all.
Amen.
It is finished. The next time He comes, it's the roaring lion of the tribe of Judah.
Amen?
Amen. All right, let's close in prayer. Won't you all stand with me? Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time of Bible study. We thank You that that Word is alive. Lord, it just makes the hair on my arms and the back of my neck just stand up, just reading it. Just seeing the revelation that we've been given about Jesus and that He has paid the full price for sin, and He did so because of my sin. Because He loved me. And that every believer can look in the Word of God as a mirror and say that same thing. And we just thank You and praise You for that love. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit who teaches us and helps us to come to a full understanding, illuminating this truth to us. We thank You for those who have gone on before us that we're going to see again. And we thank You again one last time to pray for those who are still alive and still have an opportunity to be saved. Lord, we want to see more souls saved.
Amen.
More souls in heaven.
Amen.
And then when we get there, we will never cease praising You and You alone. You alone are worthy. And so we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Bible Fellowship is excited to announce our new internet outreach ministry at bbfohioradio.com, where all of our recorded messages will air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and can be heard by anyone on planet Earth with an internet connection. BBFOhioRadio.com is another free ministry outreach providing non-stop, uninterrupted, commercial-free Bible teaching, where the only ads you'll hear are from Bible Believers Fellowship, and all the teaching is provided without charge from the authorized King James Bible as taught by Pastor Greg Miller, Elder Mike Kaler, and other guest teachers. So visit bbfohioradio.com and share that website address on your own Facebook, Twitter, email, or other internet account as we continue preaching the Word until Jesus raptures us out of here.